White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 442.
White Rocket Entertainment.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! And welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with WarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we got new intro music this week for one thing.
Very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And this is music we own. We've got new music for the opening and new music for the close that we own all the licenses to. So there will be no more questions about, you know, where we're getting our music from and should we be doing so or not, because now it's all belongs to us. I've got licenses right here on my computer. And I liked them. I thought it would be good to have a nice dramatic thing for the opening, nice kind of peppy electro thing like we kind of had before, and a nice, as you'll see at the end, a nice bouncy sort of reggae close that kind of fits our other, you know, we kind of bounce between those two styles. So that's good, and you'll get to check that out at the end of the show. Now, that's going to be our official themes going forward into 2020, and we'll see how long beyond that till we're ready to change again. So how was Christmas for you, sir?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good. Kids were here, had a good time. It was very nice. How about you?
Oh, me too. Yeah, we finally took the tree with the precious, blessed toilet paper in it down yesterday, but we got a nice long month of December with the toilet paper in the tree. It's always a better Christmas when there's toilet paper in my Christmas tree.
Nice.
Not everybody in the country or the world would understand that, but you understand it. And I dare say most of people listening to the show right now understand why it's always a better year when you started out with toilet paper in your Christmas tree. And we did. So what about the bowl games? Have you gotten to watch many of the bowl games so far?
I have watched a good bit of bowl games. I haven't watched a lot of bowl games start to finish.
Yeah.
Where I consume the entire every minute of the game. But I have watched a lot of pieces here and there, bowl games. Watched a good bit of the playoffs were different. But I'm trying to think of, other than that, the bowl games I've watched the most. UVA Florida is on as we speak.
Haven't seen a minute of that. Just got home from dinner. How's it looking?
At the moment we started recording, it had been 14-14.
Really?
And then Florida jumped on them, and now I think it's like 24-14.
Okay, so that's more what I was expecting, yeah. Yeah, I didn't see Virginia giving them much of a contest there. I was trying to think. I didn't even realize the bowls had started, so I missed the first 2 days and the first 9 bowl games, and so I'm like languishing near the bottom of our bowl pick'em because I started out 0-9 because of the of not realizing it had even started yet. It started really early, it seemed like, this year.
It did. It did. The calendar started early for me.
Really, like before Christmas even, which is crazy. So, but yeah, I've watched some. I'm trying to think. Not really all of, I guess the two big games, the two semifinals I watched. And the day before, I feel like there were a couple of games that I watched.
It was the Texas A&M game.
Yeah, yeah, it was that one and the one before it I watched a good bit of, yeah. But I don't know if it's just me, but I just didn't feel like there were a lot of really compelling matchups outside of the big, big games this year. And even the Sugar Bowl and the Cotton Bowl and all, they don't seem... It seems like a lot of the bowls this year are a big name team and a no name team as opposed to two big teams, you know?
Yes.
Like, I couldn't care less about Georgia Baylor. If it was Georgia Oklahoma or Georgia Texas or you know, but Georgia Baylor, I don't care. And Florida Virginia, you know? I mean, if it was you know, if it was Florida, Florida State, or Florida Clemson, or Florida Miami even, or somebody in the ACC other than Virginia, I just don't get, you know, Florida, Virginia Tech even be interesting. But I just, it just seemed like a strange combination of teams in all the bowls this year. Even ours, Auburn, Minnesota, you know, it feels like Alabama, Michigan is the only non-big time bowl game that has a big time pair of teams in it.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's just
weird. It's just that some years it works out that way, and it did.
Yeah, I think the Sugar Bowl has – I said this on Twitter the other day. I feel like the Sugar Bowl has suffered more than maybe any other bowl game because the Sugar Bowl used to be, as often as not, a national championship game because it would always have the SEC champion and then like a Big Ten team or a Big Eight team or something, you know. And it feels like this year – it feels like the last few years, you know, it's been – kind of a second or third running SEC team and somebody just totally random. So you get Baylor this year. You know, we had to play Central Florida.
No. That was the Peach Bowl.
Okay, Oklahoma was ours. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But the problem is it's the SEC and Big 12 locked in, mm-hmm. and it's the teams that don't make the playoff.
Yeah.
So they're not excited to be there playing each other.
Yeah, it's really hurt the – it's turned the Sugar Bowl into the NIT.
Mm.
And that's, you know, I mean, of big teams. It's turned the Sugar Bowl into we get whoever doesn't make the big tournament. And, you know, the NIT is never that exciting, honestly. So, well, and the Orange Bowl has been hurt a little bit by that, too. The Rose has managed to – I think the main reason – the main reason the Rose Bowl has kept themselves a little out of that is A, they've always gone to such great lengths to jealously guard their reputation, right? They have to have a time slot that nobody else is in, and they have to have their teams and all. And I think the other thing the Rose Bowl has done is they've lucked into the fact in a way that the Pac-12 never makes the playoffs.
Yes.
So they it's get true. A conference champion.
It's very true.
So, I guess we're in the Outback Bowl against Minnesota, and we were going to talk about some of the previous Outback Bowls.
Yes, Auburn's previous excursions yep. to that part of the world.
To Tampa.
Down Under Outback yeah. Bowl. And so we actually had a good discussion a long time ago about the 1989 Auburn-Ohio State Outback Bowl.
We even wrote a column about it.
We did.
It's in our book.
And you tweeted it out the other day, I believe, mm-hmm. if people were interested in it.
Yeah.
One of the most physical bowl games I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, famous for that one big hit on Stacey Danley.
Yes. And then we played Penn State at the end of the 95 season
mm-hmm.
in the Outback Bowl. We played Northwestern in the Bonkers game.
It should have been the bonkers.com Outback Bowl.
At the end of 2009, then that kind of set the stage going to 2010. That was the game that just wouldn't end.
Yeah.
And then we played Wisconsin in 2015 after the 2014 season in the Outback Bowl.
All right. So I got a couple of things to say, and you join in, of course. Well, for one thing, the Auburn-Ohio State went after the 89 season. A couple of things of note. One, it was called the Hall of Fame Bowl back then. The Hall of Fame mm-hmm. Bowl started in Birmingham, moved to Tampa, and then changed eventually to the Outback Bowl because that was their sponsor. In fact, there was probably a year or two that it was the Outback Steakhouse Hall of Fame Bowl, I'm willing to bet, and then they just kind of dropped the Hall of Fame and went with Outback. And that was an interesting game because that was the first football game of the 1990s calendar year. The last game Auburn played in the 80s was the first time ever Iron Bowl 30 years ago this month, December 2nd. And then we played our bowl game January 1st, 1990, with the last game played of those great 80s teams. And it went downhill pretty quickly after they all graduated. But that game, yeah, Ohio State, their starting quarterback was Fry. Do you remember who their backup quarterback was?
It was Herb Street, wasn't it?
Yes, Kirk Herb Street was their backup quarterback. And their defensive starting safety, I believe, was one Bo Pelini.
Nice.
So, and I think John Cooper was the coach, and he was always entertaining. He did not get along well with his own fans and his own administration, so he always had something sarcastic to say before, during, and after those games. But like he said, you know, Ohio State fans are great. They're with you win or draw. And but that was the game where they were actually beating us for a while. And then Danley caught a little swing pass, and as soon as he turned upfield, he was blindsided and destroyed by a defensive player. I don't think it was Bo Pelini. And Pat Dye went out there and told him, get up and jog off the field. And he did, although I don't think he knew what state he was in or what sport he was playing at that point. And that kind of fired our guys. It woke them up. And after that, we went on and beat them like 30. I think it was like 14-0 maybe at that point. We went on and beat them like 31-14. So that was a good performance by that Auburn team. You have any memories or other thoughts other than that of that Ohio State game? Or you want to talk about Penn State for a second?
No, let's go to Penn State.
Well, that was the game that you and I watched at your house in Atlanta, I remember. And I remember that it was a game that was just a downpour, right?
Yes.
And I believe Stephen Davis was our big running back that year. That was Pat Nix's team, Patrick Nix, his senior year. It was Patrick Nix and Stephen Davis. They had just beaten Alabama in the Iron Bowl in 95, and they went down there to play Penn State. And I feel like Davis got hit on the head or something, got a concussion, and was out. And Penn State just blew our brains out after that.
Well, and again, this was 95. In 94, Penn State went undefeated and won a share of the national title.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, them and Nebraska.
So this was the core of that same team.
Yeah.
That we were facing in this bowl game. So it was a really good opponent.
They were good, yeah. Yeah, Paterno was always good in bowl games, too. And yeah, and that rain and everything, really, Davis was our only real weapon that was working. And once he went out, it was good night, Irene, for our chances. And we got killed. Now, that first Gene Chizik season, I love it. I think we went 8-5 probably, because we always go 8-5 when we don't have a great year. But we had played Alabama within one score in that great Iron Bowl in 2009 where they had to score at the last second to beat us. We went down to play Northwestern. This was a very good Northwestern team in 2009 in the Outback Bowl. And this was the game that just would not end, remember?
Oh, yeah. Every time. And it just incredibly dramatic.
Yeah.
A very, very dramatic game. Lots of big swings. Lots of plays in the end zone, you know, and mm-hmm. and the you know in the red zone going one way or the other again, and you know, dramatic moments, and then reverse to go the other way and that kind of stuff. So and then went to overtime, right?
Yeah, I went to overtime, and I feel like we didn't play a bunch of overtimes. I feel like they just couldn't. They kept getting penalties. They're like, I feel like we ran out on the field three different times, thinking we'd won or we'd lost. And then they'd say, like, oh, no, there's a penalty. Wait, it's coming back. They get to kick it again, or we get to kick it again. Or it's like they I feel like both coaches got Gatorade dumped on them twice each or something. You know what I mean? It's like they kept thinking the game was over, and then there'd be a penalty or something. They had to go back and do it again. So, but ultimately, we won.
That's right.
So we were two.
Ultimately, we prevailed.
2-1 in Tampa at that point. And then goes, I think this is probably, I mean, obviously the Rose Bowl after the 2013 season is the bowl game I would give anything to have a different outcome. But if you, that one's obvious, right? So if you take that one out of the equation, it's really not fair, I think, that 2014 team should have lost to Wisconsin in one of Barry Alvarez's 17 different retirement, you know, coming back from retirement to coach a bowl game against us.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hate that crowd that Nick Marshall and Cameron Artis Payne and everybody went out on a losing note, because that was such a good team. But just the defense collapsed. And I don't even know.
The defense just fell apart in the second half of that season. That offense was incredible.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to look up the score, because I have very little memory even of that game. I just remember, oh, it was 34-31. Oh, it even went to overtime, too. It's another overtime game. Yeah, so it was 7-7, 14-7 at halftime our way. They had a better third quarter. We had a better fourth quarter, and then we ended up tying 31, and then they kicked a field goal. And, again, it's been so long. Let me just see if
this team was, you know – at one point in the season, I think we were 5-0.
Oh, yeah.
Destroyed LSU and then we lost at Mississippi State.
That was, yes.
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of it. Then we turned around and we had that terrible loss at home to A&M where they had blocked field goal return and all that stuff.
Yes.
And we got destroyed at Georgia. And then lost at Alabama in a game where we scored 44 points. We lost at Tuscaloosa.
At Tuscaloosa, right. We missed a field goal that would have sent it to double overtime. That's what happened. Even worse. So, yeah, 34-31. We should have won that game. So, yeah, the Outback, we're 2-2 in something that could be reasonably seen to be the Outback Bowl. So I say we take this opportunity to go up 3-2. I would really like to win this game. If you play this game on paper, I feel like we win. But you know how Auburn does in bowl games when we're not playing for something huge. On the other hand, I feel like this particular group of seniors, if there was one Auburn senior class in the last several years that I would really feel like could lead the rest of the team to do their best and really try to win, this is the one. You know what I mean?
Yes, you are correct. No, I think there's good leadership on this team. And I think this, and they've talked about it this week, this particular group of players still has a bad taste in their mouth from how they performed in that Central Florida game a couple years ago. And they don't want to go into a bowl game and play like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want them to go into a bowl game and play like that. So I'm glad it's unanimous. That's funny. Yeah. So let's see. So we got Minnesota coming up, the Golden Gophers. And
the first time we've ever played them, I believe, right?
Yes, it is the first time we've ever played them, and let me see if this works.
Do you know what I just saw?
No, sir.
A gopher!
Gopher! Where?
Do you know what gophers can do to a golf
football field?
Spicer, I want you to kill every gopher on the course.
In Tampa.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Gophers! You great kid, not golfers! The little brown furry rodents!
From Minnesota!
Do that.
Hey.
We don't even have to have a reason.
Do it, man!
All right, let's do the same thing, but with gophers.
Let's do the same thing, but with gophers, John. I like it.
Let's do the same thing, but with gophers.
That's right. Let's do it. So here, let me give you my impression of what Minnesota's like, and then you tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay, or elaborate. I get the sense that they are a fairly balanced team that is competent to pretty darn good at just about everything, but not necessarily spectacularly great at anything, but they do have 1,000-yard receivers and a 1,000-yard rusher and a really good quarterback. How am I doing so far?
Doing good. They are a very good team. They're talented, but they're obviously not as talented as a lot of the other teams we have played, but they have good players and they're well coached. They don't do anything incredibly complicated or tricky or exciting scheme wise. I mean, their offense is like inside zone, outside zone, slant, fade. That's it. That's a lot of it. So, but they execute really, really well. And they're the kind of team that, you know, the important stuff, turnovers, being good in the red zone on both sides of the ball, that kind of stuff. They're good at those things, and that's what helps them win. So I think, in terms of like real difference makers that they have, you know, they don't have a ton of guys that would get a lot of playing time or start at SEC schools, but their two receivers would. They're both excellent. Johnson and Bateman both are really, really good players. And then they have their safety. Winfield is an excellent player. They have a couple of decent edge rushers, but they're not on the same planet as Florida's. Their offensive line is gigantic.
They got that huge one guy, right?
Yeah, but he's questionable, I think. Banged up.
Ooh.
And they got a good running back. Their quarterback's good, Tanner Morgan. He's very accurate. He's not, he's no threat to run, especially against our defense. But he's a good, accurate passer and he makes good decisions. But I also think they didn't play Ohio State this year. They averaged like 35 points a game for the season. But at the end of the year, they played two tougher defenses in Iowa and Wisconsin, and they only scored 18 points, average in those two games.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of thing of where maybe they were kind of running out of steam a little bit, and also teams had a better scattering report on them. And I feel like, you know, they'll be well prepared, motivated. I see those two games, and you give Kevin Steele and them some time, I think we'll be able to shut them down.
We didn't. I skipped over a section. I'm sorry. They are the Golden Gophers, and we need to mention that their Golden Gopher, which I guess his name is Goldie.
Goldie.
Okay. He's like a big rival of Aubie in terms of national powers at mascot, right?
At mascotting?
Yes. I mean, I think he's a national champion too, right?
Yes. Normally it's one or the other of them winning that award.
Yeah, that's far out. So it'll be interesting to see the the battle on the sideline while the battle on the field is going on. They do a cheer. What is that?
They do this cheer. It's a Minnesota cheer. They say Sky Ye Ma, and it's something that Minnesota people say. And then so there's a, and I didn't know what that was, so I went and read about it. Basically, it's a long time ago, people up there saw these Native Americans doing canoe races, and they yelled something like that. And so when they won, and so they thought it was victory or something, but it really wasn't. It was kind of a misinterpretation of what it was. And so that's their school cheer.
So it could actually mean your mom's on the phone. As soon as you're done with this boat race, you need to go call her. And they're cheering, your mom's on the phone. Your mom's on the phone. I kind of like
it. Yeah, no, it's you know, they think it like that, but it's more like woohoo.
Okay.
It's more the interpretation.
Right. So. And they say row the boat. This is kind of like old Francione's, everybody pulling on the rope or hold the rope or some.
Yeah, and all those kind of slogan things. And it's the coach, yeah. You know, Fleck, he brought it with him from Western Michigan there. That's his thing. It's not a school thing, mm-hmm. but it's part of his identity. And he's a good coach. I think he's very sharp, but he's interesting because he's not a guy who's an offensive guy or a defensive guy. He's a guy who's just like a leader and a manager, organizer, mm-hmm. and then he picks good people to be his coordinators and stuff and gives them the responsibility to run it.
He kind of reminded me, when I saw the press conference with Gus, he kind of reminded me in a way of Jimbo Fisher. And I don't mean that as big of an insult as it might first seem to some of our listening audience, but you know, like when Jimbo and Gus were at the joint press conference, Jimbo just blah 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 blah, while Gus is like, yeah, that's right. And so it was the same thing. They would ask a question of both coaches, and PJ Fleck would just go off for 5 minutes, and then Gus is like, yeah, pretty much. So I don't know. I mean, I guess he's charismatic or whatever, but he likes to hear himself talk.
He's definitely a talker.
So how motivated do you think Minnesota will be?
I think they'll be motivated. I mean, I think it's always the question in bowl games.
Yeah.
Do they, you know, do teams want to be there, and how hard are they going to try and be motivated? But this is only the second New Year's Day bowl game they've been in since the 60s.
Wow.
So it is a gigantic deal for them. Their history is, you know, Vanderbilt-ish.
Yeah.
On the football side. So it is a big deal.
Unless you go back to World War II or something, and then it's like them and Army, you know.
Yeah, but since 1960, their history has basically been like Vanderbilt.
Right.
So the fact that they've gotten to this point and they're a top 20 team, and they beat Penn State this year, and they playing us, and they feel like they have a chance, they're going to play hard. They're going to, you know, they're going to be ready to go. This is, again, it's terrible when it's like this for teams like Auburn, but this is Minnesota's Super Bowl. I mean, these guys would be immortal if they win this game.
Mm. Yeah, just like Central Florida. That's right. It just, well, I don't know how motivated we will be, except that our players, this seems like a bunch that if you were going to find an Auburn group that could motivate themselves in a sufficient way, this seems like the one.
100%. And I think Derek Brown and them all playing solved that issue.
Yeah.
I think if they had bailed out and stuff, then it would be a different situation. But I think when Derek Brown said, and Marlon Davidson and them said, we're playing, then that was it. Then everybody's like, okay, we're going to play as hard as we can in this game. And we're going to be ready to go and focused and not, you know, have too much fun this week.
Yeah, they said it's like a business trip. I did see the headline. I didn't get to read the whole story, but I saw the headline was like, Auburn players say they're treating this as a business trip. And I like that. I mean, again, I mean, it would be very easy for somebody cynical to pick it apart and say, well, what's the goal? What are they even playing for? What's the point? You know, 10 wins versus 9 wins. But I just think it's important for this group to go out on a high note, having beaten Alabama and then win their bowl game on New Year's Day. That's not a bad season, you know. It would certainly end, regardless of the numbers, it would end with a much better flavor and of taste in our mouths than the year we, you know, we played Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl or we played Central Florida in the Peach Bowl. At least we would feel like we closed out strong, we beat Alabama, and we beat our bowl opponent. And we haven't done that. I mean, I don't think we've ever done that under Gus, have we? Beaten Alabama and our bowl opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only two bowls that Gus has won.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Was the 15, which was the worst team he's ever had at Auburn, and they won their bowl game because they played freaking Memphis and Birmingham. So they certainly lost to Alabama. And the other bowl we won was last year, and we certainly didn't beat Alabama last year. Yeah. So this would be the first time that we could win the Iron Bowl and the regular bowl in the same season under Gus. That would be great.
And I think you're right. It'll be some positive momentum heading into next year, but it would also, like, if we lost this game and we played poorly, I think it would take some of the shine off the end of the year victory, and we needed to not do that.
Exactly. Yeah, there's more on the line than at first seems apparent, I think. So you noted Auburn defense versus Minnesota offense is the most important matchup.
Yes. I mean, I think their receivers and stuff against our defense and our defense, I think, you know, we've seen them play at the level they're capable of playing. And especially with some time off to prepare, I think we can really do some damage against them. I mean, I think we can. They have, again, a good quarterback, good receivers, good running back. They're well coached. But their offensive coordinator left. He went to Penn State. And so they haven't replaced him. So, you know, how much does that affect kind of their in-game play calling adjustments, that kind of stuff? I think it's going to hurt them. But I just think, like, their offense is not complicated. And they have some good players. But compared to the other players that we have seen this year, they're not better than those players. So I think they'll have some success and they're going to score and that kind of stuff, but I don't think they're going to score more than 17 points or so on this. I really don't.
Yeah, 27-17 is kind of the feel I have, but could be closer, could be a bigger. I feel like if they win, it's a close win. If we win, it'll be by double digits. I don't know,
yes.
Just depending on how things shake out. There was an interesting thing that PJ Fleck said at that press conference where they were talking about how, you know, spending the time preparing for the bowl games, and he said that he had watched a lot of film of Auburn now, but he said the one thing he knows is, he says, we figured out all their tendencies, but when you give Gus Malzahn 3 weeks or how many ever weeks, all those tendencies go away. You know, everything's going to be different. You know, he's like, we really don't know what they're going to do because they're going to change it all between now in January 1st. I thought that was pretty good because we know there are tendencies, but they'll definitely make some. And how much change do you really think our new offensive coordinator is going to mean for us in this game?
I mean, I think, you know, Gus, Chad Morris or no, was always going to kind of tinker with things heading into the bowl game, look back at what worked, it didn't work, and that kind of stuff. And I think with Morris there, they're kind of doing it together. They're looking at what plays are working and not working, and also looking at, like, okay, you know, who's healthy now that wasn't healthy, like, at the end of the year that we can use more. And so, again, like, I think against a Big Ten team, Schwartz is a mismatch. He's the kind of guy that we get the ball to, and they get out, they'll have real problems with him. So I think, but I don't think it'll be dramatically, you know, schematically different or anything, but you may see some different players doing things that they didn't do and, you know, lined up at different spots or running different plays, that kind of stuff. But not, I don't think it'll be anything crazy. I think the biggest thing would just be, you know, that Morris can help him when Minnesota throws curveballs at us with their defense and their changes stuff up, and Morris can help Gus adjust respond. And that'll be interesting to see kind of how, I think it'll be interesting to see how Bo Nix does in this game.
Yeah.
With Morris talking to him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. when it comes to changing offensive coordinators right before an Auburn bowl game, the one I always think back to is the end of 2007 before the 2008 season when we let Al Borges go and brought in Tony Franklin. And the offense had been struggling 2006 and 2007. It just wasn't really scoring a lot, even though they had some pretty good players. And you remember what Franklin – Tuberville kept saying all week, for weeks before the game, you know, we don't really have time to change much. So he's just – you know, Tony Franklin's just going to use the Al Borges playbook. And you remember how that bowl game against Clemson went?
We ran Tony Franklin stuff, didn't we?
Oh, we changed everything, yeah. And we swapped quarterbacks every play.
Every play.
Did the old Spurrier thing, yeah. So Cody Burns would come in and we would do a option run type play. And then he'd come out and Cox would come in and we'd throw a pass. And they just switched back and forth and back and forth. And it actually was relatively effective. I mean, it was as confusing to Clemson as it probably was to us. But it was relatively effective. It was a fun game to watch. And so... yeah, that was really strange, but I doubt they'll go that far. I don't think they're going to throw Gus's offense out and put in Chad Mars's, which isn't that different, but it will be interesting to see what new passing wrinkles maybe we will see. That's the thing I expect, is a few passing wrinkles thrown in there. In fact, I tweeted out this morning, I broke down, I just on a whim, I had my iPad out, and I just broke down in screenshots the two-point conversion, and that was that we ran against Alabama, and that was a fairly sophisticated little play that we ran there. So for all the crap that Gus gets about his passing offense not being very sophisticated, and I get that, that two-point play was a fairly sophisticated little deal, you know? I mean, he had everybody doing something different, and it was all designed to free up Shedrick Jackson wide open standing there in the end zone, and it worked perfectly. Didn't hurt that the freshman defensive back was on the wrong side of the play until right before the snap. But anyway, so what about special teams? You have a note here about a mismatch there.
That's the biggest mismatch in the game. I mean, our defense, again, is good against anybody, but their special teams are terrible.
Mm.
And so I think that's an area where Auburn could have a big edge. They're bad in punting. They're bad in coverage. So I think that's the kind of thing where you could see Auburn make a couple of plays and more plays of special teams, maybe get some field position advantage out of it.
Okay. Well, and I certainly hope that Anders keeps his suddenly hot streak alive, you know, because he really got it going in the Iron Bowl. All right. Any other thoughts about Minnesota before we move along?
No. I mean, honestly, like they're a good team. But I feel like unless Auburn turns the ball over a lot, that we're going to be okay.
Yeah, like I said, I feel like it's either going to be a close win for them or we win by maybe 10 to 14 points. It's funny, some people are predicting like Purdue all over again. And no, I think no, that was no, no. a that fluke. Team, that was a fluky situation.
Yeah, and that team was much worse than this Purdue team.
Yeah, exactly, and they were just
Minnesota.
Yeah, they were just things were not lining up for them at all against us that day. Whereas, I mean, I feel like this has much more likelihood of being like the 09 team playing Northwestern, you know, or playing Wisconsin or something. These games are never as easy, with the exception of last year Purdue, right? These games are never as easy as we always want to think they are, even if they're not a bowl game. Like when we played Louisville, remember a few years ago, we played Louisville. People were like, oh, we're going to win by 40. And I'm like, it's never that easy. And that was a hard-fought down to the last play game, you know. And so, I feel like I'm 70-30 that we win, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's a much closer game than some people think, so. So we have a pick'em contest going with the bowl games we were talking about a little while ago that I came in late on. So I'm way down around 20th place. I did calculate, by the way, I blindly picked the 9 games because I didn't even know how they came out. So I just went ahead and picked them just to see, and it turned out I went 4-5, obviously. So if you add 4 more wins in, I'm still only like 15th or something. So not a good showing for me. How's that looking?
That's right where I am, 15th. You beat right there, me. I know. I'm glad you're sitting down for this.
Mm.
First place in the bowl pool.
Yeah,
he has picked 98.9% He's in the 99th percentile of the country.
Holy.
19 correct picks.
Holy cow.
Jared the Yard Sale Artist, and his entry is titled Pat versus Eagle.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Holy cow. Jared is dominating. I didn't. Last time I checked, Auburn Elvis was winning.
And then there are three teams, three entries wow. right behind him with 18 correct. And that's Darren Pyle, whose entry is called I Don't Have Facts to Back This.
the soundboard continues to dominate.
Ann Canjian and Winston B.
Okay. Is Elvis still up there close?
Yeah, Elvis is right. Elvis is next.
Okay.
And his entry is called Blame Yourself. So.
Blame yourself.
So Jared is 19 out of what? Like 20 or something? Or does it say? It just says he's got 19 right and he's at 98th percentile.
Give me 1 second.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty amazing. You know what we say about you in bowl pick'ems, Jared?
Well, we got a cage strong enough to hold an animal like you here. What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy.
There you go. He'll appreciate that. So
I think it's 24.
That's pretty darn good, man.
It's still very good. Again, it at the top 2% of the country at this point.
Wow. Very, very good. All right. So that's a thing going on right now that if you were a patron, you could be jumping in on, and certainly if you join up, you can do it next time around, next year. We have the big March Madness contest for our patrons coming up soon. We do a lot of stuff like that here at the old White Rocket Entertainment Studios. Also, you don't have to be a patron to get a shirt. We have the Soundboard Fan Club shirts, and we have the Better at Celebrating, which is...
Can we get Better at Celebrating?
And we have Better at Celebrating shirts. And for our patrons only, we have a Proud Patron of the AU Wishbone shirts. And so to pick up a shirt or a pillow or a mug, and we've also got Jared's cool illustration he did of our little running back.
Shivers
running over the defensive back for Alabama into the end zone. It says Little Tiger Big Run, and it's got 48-45 on it. We got like a full coverage of the shirt version of that, and then we got some that just have it as like an illustration on it on the front, among other products, even a blanket. So just go to www.auwishbone.com to pick any of those things up or to click on the Become a Patron. And we've got to thank our patrons that keep our shows and keep these things going. So of course we always thank them by name, and for as little as a dollar a month, though we appreciate more, of course, you can join the ranks of the AU Wishbone family and help support our show and keep these things happening and keep the show going. And we always have to thank Matthew Flowers, Carl Von Drunker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson. And we have Phil Amthor, Ben Spooner, William Glenn Matthews, Gary Grant, AU Fan KSC, Wynn Carroll, Brian Gray, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Tom Anderson, Susan Trawick, Logan Chilton, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Steve Trawick, and Richard Stevens. We have Christopher Stewart and Clinton Stewart, Mickey B, William Morgan, Phil Davis, Joshua Corbett, John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Adam, AU Falling Up, Alchemist, Kevin Smith, Clarence Alford, Will Summerford, David Hegler, Johnny Caldwell, Theodore Gary Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Canjian, Catherine England, George Gaston, John McCune, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson. Take a breath here and scroll. We have Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, and Jared Albrick, the current dominator of our bowl pool. And then there's Blake Heron, Steve Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Russell Milling, Kevin Canoy, Don Zederman, Ross, Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Randall Walker, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vijakana, Chris Thrash, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson. I got a strange bit of gunk on my page here that I'm going to get rid of in that section so it doesn't slow me down. David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, and C.T. Wayne. And we're in the home stretch now, John. We got Jeremy Minton, Wardam Wade, Spanky, J.W. Rice, Jason Albrick, Justin Bean, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Wyatt, Trevor Johnson, Auburn Elvis, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Thomas Brinson, David Smiley, Matthew Wagstaff, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Joseph A. Miller, Mark Squire, plus Chris, Brent Rumble, Surfer Chickify, and our other donors, including One Time and Anonymous. We thank you all so much. Go to www.auwishbone.com and sign up today. So, and tell a friend about the show. John, I'm hoping to get our show on Spotify to begin the new year. That was part of the process, was getting our new theme music in place, which we have now. And now we needed an actual episode to go ahead and to try to get up there, and now we're going to have that. So hopefully we'll continue to spread, continue to grow, tell folks about it. What do you think we're planning on doing next week?
Well, we have been working on the Trial Gust 2.0, which inspired by one of Van's suggestions. We're looking back at different Auburn coaches and losses to teams they should not have lost to. And comparing Gus to other Auburn coaches in that category and kind of looking back at that. So that'll be fun kind of right in our wheelhouse.
I did a lot of research on that. I spent about a half a day last week digging around through some numbers, and I think there's going to be some surprising stuff to come out of that. That should be a lot of fun. The episode that we did last year that was entirely your brainchild was very, very popular and successful, and I'm happy to revisit that topic, and I'm sorry I keep causing that episode to get pushed back a little bit, but we're going to get it done in the next few days, and that'll be good. And by the way, another programming note, I believe on Thursday I'll be recording a new White Rocket episode. I posted several White Rocket episodes during the break, so if you enjoy hearing John and me talk, or me and other people talk about non-Auburn topics, John and I did our big this is like our fourth or fifth annual Lord of the Rings trivia competition. That was awesome that we had the other day. That was so much fun. And that one's up there so just go to whiterocket.podbean.com or just go to iTunes, look for White Rocket. And we recorded a new, Alan Porter and I recorded a new James Bond show. We covered Quantum of Solace, which actually I hadn't posted yet, but it'll be up in a few days. And Alan and Jim Yelton and I are going to do a show Thursday on The Mandalorian first season, which should be a lot of fun. So, in other news, John, we have a basketball team that's playing quite well.
Still undefeated.
The last two teams, us and San Diego State, I believe.
That's it.
Man.
So very exciting. We got a big, SEC opener in Starkville coming up.
Yep.
So that'll be a tough game, but I'm very excited about this team and how they're playing.
Well, it's going to be nice to get into that regular season momentum where we play every Wednesday and every Saturday, more or less, because it's been incredibly frustrating. We'll play a game and we'll go like 3 weeks and not play, And there's been a lot of gaps during the holidays. And then when we do play, it's Lipscomb or something, So
yes,
it's going to be nice to be playing name brand teams every 3 or 4 days for quite a while. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
I said more than a month ago, I said, I don't think we're going to lose a game. We have the potential to not lose a game until we play Florida at soonest. And so far, that's on course. We'll see. We don't want to get out. We don't want to get too full of ourselves, but so far that's held to be true. So, let's see. So, is it time to bang the House of Commons into order?
It is.
Thank you. Order. Questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun 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 on the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right. What do we got this week?
All right. Our first question. It's from Cato the Barner, and it's called his email at where he sent us at auwishbone@gmail.com is titled, "Why Should I Be Scared of Minnesota?"
Yeah.
And he says, "John and Van, I would like to go ahead and disagree that our bowl game will be close. I put money on us beating the Rodents by 21 points.
Wow.
That's because I'm still not convinced they're any good. I know they beat Penn State and went 10-2, but my question is, who do you think their second best win is? Is it 6-6 Illinois or 5-7 Nebraska? My next question is, which of the following wins scares you the most? Is it their beatdown of a 3-9 Maryland, their beatdown of a 2-10 Rutgers, their beatdown of a 3-9 Northwestern, or is it one of their wins of 7 points or less against an FCS team, a mediocre Georgia Southern team, 4-8 Purdue, or a terrible 4-8 Fresno State in double overtime?
You know what this makes me? This makes me want to ask this one question, John. How do we get Auburn into the Big Ten? We'd have been in the playoffs if we played this schedule.
The Big Ten West. Again, it's like everything else. They're in the right division.
Yeah.
He points out at the end that they played 9 conference games. 6 of those 9 averaged 3.8 wins.
Wow.
And the other 3, they went 1-2 against. He says, why should I be scared of that?
That's very valid. I mean, that's one of those when you really get down into the nitty-gritty of the numbers, you start to realize, yeah, but.
Well, here's what I would respond to that. I think they're better than that indicates. And part of it is because this is a team that got better as the year went along. They played a bunch of close games and they played poorly against bad teams at the beginning of the year, but they got better and better and better kind of as Big Ten play got going. And that's how they were able to kind of peak when they had that home game with Penn State to play their best game then. And Penn State is a legitimate, you know, top 15 kind of team. They got a lot of good talent. So the idea that they could, and again, it was at home. It was kind of a perfect storm for them. So you're right. They didn't, you know, they haven't played anybody with the level of talent and athleticism that Auburn has. And they played a lot of other bad teams. And it's certainly, I do believe that, you know, Auburn playing better competition has prepared them.
But you know what, though?
Better than Minnesota's prepared.
I feel like we were saying the same things about Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fair.
That's the thing. Is just because you hadn't played anybody. I mean, look at Clemson. Clemson hadn't played anybody, and they beat Ohio State. So I get the point that you haven't played anybody, so we shouldn't be scared of you. I still feel a healthy sense of trepidation, though, just in general respect and concern. So, all right, what else?
All right. Preston Settle has a question. He said about recruiting. He says, "This is from right after signing day." He says, "According to Jason Caldwell, Auburn staff pulled the scholarship offer for Javian Cohen. This is after Cohen, you know, he had been committed to Auburn, but he visited Alabama and was liking Alabama. And he said that he made his decision between Auburn and Alabama. Do you think?" This is his question. Is Auburn's staff pulling this scholarship dirty or just business?
Oh, I was thrilled that they did that. He tried to turn it into the thing, you can't break up with me because I already broke up with you yesterday type crap. But no, it kind of turned into that who broke up with who first, with whom first.
Yes.
But look, I'd rather people look at us and say, oh, they pulled his scholarship, was that dirty? I would take that all day long over looking at us and going, poor little Auburn, screwed over by big old Alabama again.
Yeah. He was going to go to Alabama and everybody could see it coming. And then if you're doing that, the only reason you're not renouncing your commitment to Auburn is to create drama for you and attention for you.
Yeah.
You're not committed to Auburn at that point. And Preston Settle has a postscript in his email. He says, shout out to Greg Hovater. I know you are listening to the show and you need to become a patron.
I like it. I like these patron challenges. These are good. I've thought about, we need to do like a patron telethon at some point. Do like the old Jerry Lewis telethons where we have like different stuff going on for an extended period of time. We could do it on YouTube and on the audio. And I don't know, I'll have to think about it, but I'm thinking about doing some kind of like maybe in the spring after basketball season's over in the summer, do like a big telethon to kind of get things going before the next season. So if anybody has any brilliant ideas on how you can take the old TV telethon concept, and I bet a lot of our listeners don't even know what that is because those were back the day, but I used to watch the telethons, and you know, there's a way to do that. I'll be thinking about it, but a corollary on losing that offensive lineman, we're working on somebody that may be even better, right? That we might still get.
Yes. Now this Broderick Jones, the big 5-star offensive tackle, that has been committed to Georgia, but now the story is it's 50-50 with Auburn and Georgia, and that would be gigantic.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we haven't recruited a great high school offensive tackle in a while. And so he would be a real difference maker, especially to get him away from Georgia.
Oh, yeah. That's a win-win.
That's right.
Yeah, just tell him, come in and, you know, you can be blocking for Tank Bigsby down the next couple of years. A five-star blocking for a five-star. I like it. Though you never know how those things will work out, but that's certainly a thing you can wave around. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, it, I mean, again, the idea that we're even in the discussion with him is, I think, impressive.
Absolutely. Staff, so. Absolutely.
All right, and their last email is from Scott Crankton, who says, gentlemen, Malzahn, win or lose, will have his share of detractors. With the upcoming bowl game, can you think of a worst-case outcome that would embolden his critic to new heights? He says, I think a game in which Auburn loses, scores few points, an ineffective Bo Nix, and heaven forbid Derrick Brown is injured,
would
whip the anti-Malzahn crowd into a lather. Of course, Malzahn would be criticized for having Brown in the game. On the play, very play, he's injured. Agree? Asking for a friend. Happy New Year.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much a litany of worst-case scenarios there, and I don't appreciate it.
No, the Derrick Brown injured one is way over the top.
No, of course he's right that if those things happened, it would just be, you know, throwing kerosene on the gust detractors. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah.
I think it's simple. It's much simpler than this, Scott. I think it comes to it's any game in which we're not good on offense, people are going to be fussing at Gus.
This is
true. That's 100% it.
Yep. That's it. I did have fun saying that Oklahoma was wasting that great defense by having no offense against LSU. I've been trying to turn that one back around on them all season. Every time they started saying we were wasting a great defense with a bad offense, in a world where there's so many other great defenses that make your offense not look great, that it just is funny that, you know, LSU's defense is a couple of steps below ours, and yet, you know, they were holding Oklahoma completely in check. So that was the last questions.
That was it.
All right. Well, we have to get a new trip around the SEC. So we'll just say, let's take a trip around the SEC, John.
We need to get Mira in here to do some work.
We do. We'll get her. We have her at least for now doing the closing, as you'll hear in a couple of minutes, because Maddie was not available. Maddie spent the holidays either working or with her boyfriend or whatever. So I could never get her down to the studio to re-record the ending for me. So Mira did a temporary. But sounds different because Mira's like going on 12 now, so she sounds different than in our other audios. But it almost sounds like Maddie. But anyway, so let's take a look. Trip around the SEC. Here we go around the world. So LSU absolutely annihilated Oklahoma. Did you see the Oklahoma fan today that tweeted that it wasn't a blowout?
It wasn't that bad. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Nice try. Mm.
And Clemson, Ohio State. What did you think about that game, real quick?
I mean, it was a good game.
It was.
You know, it really turned on that targeting call, which I thought was the right call, but I get it. People are unhappy because, you know, Trevor Lawrence is much taller than him, and Trevor Lawrence is, you know, kind of starting to bend over when they hit helmets. But that there, I mean, it was 100% the textbook right call of the defensive player, but it really did turn because it was 16-0 Ohio State at that point, and it should have been 30-0.
Yeah.
I mean, they kicked a couple of field goals, even with all of that, Clemson went ahead. Then they had that other huge play in the game that, you know, the Ohio State thought they scored on, and the officials reversed it. But even with all that, Ohio State dropped touchdown passes and was winning the game at the end, and Clemson drove down and scored. Like, so Ohio State didn't have anybody to blame but themselves. I don't want to hear this officiating stuff. They could have stopped Clemson. They could have scored more points in the red zone. That none of those things had anything to do with the officials. And Ohio State's really, really good, but Clemson showed a lot of poise in this game of Lawrence and Travis Etienne, and those guys just kept making plays. They didn't panic when they were down early.
They'd been there before.
Yeah, and you could tell it was really different. I mean, they at the end of the game versus the Ohio State offense at the end of the game was huge.
Well, they went down and scored, and Ohio State went down through an interception. That was different.
That's right.
And The play that shocked me, though, was Trevor Lawrence taking off and running like 60 yards untouched for a touchdown. I kept thinking, is he going to get 10 yards? Okay, he's going to get 20. Okay, he's going to run out of bounds at the 20. okay, he's going to run. Holy cow. You know, I like, dude just ran the length of the field. That was, that blew my mind that he basically was able to get down the field before any of those really presumably very fast Ohio State defensive backs could catch him. That was impressive.
Well, I mean, there are two things there. One is he's a better athlete than people think he is.
Yeah.
And number two, the safety for Ohio State fell down on the grass. And,
yeah.
And very similar to the Auburn-Oregon game, the grass was very slippery.
Yes, yes. That was a big factor in the game, I thought, was the grass. It was like a third team playing in the game, you know, along with the referees. It it was like a roll the dice for – it was almost like Dungeons & Dragons broke out where you'd have to – every play you'd have to stop and roll the dice to see if you – you know, some monster swooped down and got you or
kept
something.
Your footing.
Yeah, took your foot away. So, sure enough, it really became a very noticeable factor.
The other thing was it was a very physical game, and a lot of guys got banged up and hurt. And then the biggest one was Ohio State's running back got hurt.
Yeah.
Dobbins. And he was tearing them up at the beginning of the game. At the end of the game, he couldn't play.
Yeah, he was a big – yeah, he wasn't right through a lot of that game. They got off to a quick lead, but – they were having, you know, Auburn-itis over the years where we would get in the red zone and just couldn't suddenly convert a touchdown, and they were kicking field goals, and that really – that ended up being the difference, I think. So, Kendall Briles is in the news to Arkansas, right?
He's the Arkansas offensive coordinator, and Barry Odom is the defensive coordinator.
What do you think about this Arkansas staff overall now? I mean, it's – it seems like they're bringing in bigger names than I would have expected.
I mean, they're trying to go the model, you know, where they hired the guy who wasn't a coordinator and let him go out and get good coordinators. But it's clear that people want to work with this guy. And I think he's put together a good staff. I think they're going to be good. I mean, you know, Briles as a person, I don't have a whole lot for him, but he's a good offensive coach, and he's going to make their offense better down the road. And Odom's a good defensive coordinator. I mean, he did a good job at Missouri. That's why he ended up getting the head coaching job.
That's right. A lot of it's interesting. There's a lot of former, I mean, by a lot, it seems like there's a lot of former head coaches floating around right now in assistant and coordinator type jobs on the rehab express. I mean, certainly, you know, our offensive coordinator, Arkansas defensive coordinator, Butch Jones. Muschamp went through it for one season before going to South Carolina. So yeah, Muschamp's still at South Carolina, right? I mean, it seemed like they were thinking about firing him, but I guess they didn't. All right. So, and then Matt Luke is the Georgia offensive line coach. That's been a few days, been a while now, but that's not a bad deal either, right? And I saw him already getting his picture taken with recruits in a Georgia jumpsuit. So
I think and it's a good hire for them, and it's another good coach and recruiter. But I think the other guy was, you know, Pittman was better. But I mean, Luke was a good, you know, he can help them recruit in other places than Georgia, and I think he can make a difference for them that way. But I don't think he's as good a line coach as Pittman was, so we'll see.
It's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to be interesting to see what Arkansas looks like when, now that they're kind of, I mean, on the one hand, they hire an offensive line coach. I figure Arkansas is going back to their old, you know, hog ways that they had with Burt. But with Kendall Briles, I mean, that's a little bit more of an off the hook kind of wide open offense, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no, he basically runs the Baylor offense. So
that'll be very interesting. Very interesting indeed. All right, well, that's our bowl preview episode. Any other final thoughts about the bowls or what's coming up before the next time we speak?
It is weird the number of bowls after the playoff games still.
Yeah.
And then we have the Tennessee bowl game isn't until several days after New Year's.
That is weird. I didn't think about that. Yeah. There's still several to go, huh? And I don't like that ours in Alabama is on at the same time. I realize it was an easy comeback, and that's cool for people to say, oh, that's a feature, not a bug. But I like to watch Alabama in a bowl game. I like to watch them lose, preferably. You know, I don't ignore them. I like to watch. I want to see a good. In fact, like I said, the Alabama-Michigan game, at least in terms of marquee names, is one of the better bowl matchups. So mm-hmm. I was looking forward to watching it, and I'm not going to probably see a minute of it now. I'm certainly not going to record it and watch it later, so I'm going to be down to watch the highlights or something. Kicks off exactly the same time as our game. Just who thought that was a good idea? I just don't understand. Is it all the Rose Bowl's fault?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, because they got to have that afternoon spot.
The bowl game's got to be – and it's also ABC ESPN's fault, yeah. right? They have bought and control all the bowl games, and they're spreading them out so they don't compete against themselves.
Except in this case.
Yes.
Well, oh, well, it's our own fault for not getting in the playoffs, I guess. So we should have had that Oklahoma spot somehow. All righty. Well, I suppose our time is up. We thank you for yours. We will hope you all enjoy our bowl game. Hopefully we will beat Minnesota. And we will be back in a few days to talk about it and do the second trial of Gus Malzahn. So War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.